I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Yes, there it is. It's Touche. It's October 17th, 2016. We are, what, 3 weeks away?
I don't buy it. It's October 17th. I just was sitting outside eating.
I know, right?
It's like 78 degrees outside. I love it!
Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling in studio for another installment of Touche. We do this every Monday, although the next two are going to be on Tuesdays due to Blackhawks games, Halloween, things of that nature. So let's get right to it, guys. Lots to talk about. I find it so interesting that this campaign is moving so slow
in
the
way
that, oh my God, you guys, it was 9 days ago that the Billy Bush tape was leaked. 9 days ago. That feels like it was May. It feels like it was a summertime story. It's going pretty slow. What are you excited about this week? Let's start with you, Dave Lundy.
I'm excited because I was at Cubs game one, I was pretty damn excited about that. So I'm most excited about the Cubs. I'm second most excited. Very close second. You know, look, this election is falling away from Donald Trump in a hurry. You look right now, Hillary Clinton is up in a number of polls in Arizona by 2 points. Alaska, Trump is up by 1 point. There have been a number of polls that show her at double digits or nearly 9, 10, mm-hmm. 12. A poll came out today. I mean, the election is falling away and Donald Trump has a decision to make. And do you spend the next 3 weeks going completely scorched earth, or do you say, you know what, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out with some nobility?
Chris Roebling, what are you excited about? I mean, as Dave said, the polls are going in a different direction, but from the Republican side, from the Trump campaign, what's encouraging, what's positive right now?
Well, what's positive is the fact wherever he lands at 757, he's got 20,000 people waiting for him and 15,000 people in line. So he's got, you know, he's got a movement. He's tapped into a movement and, he's riding that wave. I don't disagree with these polls. I mean, it's now getting to be univocal, right? And so, you know, we see
the word of the day, univocal.
I need the bell. Where's the bell?
Ding.
No bell. Ding.
So the polls are saying what they're saying. And I think Trump's got a way out of this, but the time is just getting to be awfully darn short. And what David found something, you know, 4 years ago now, Obama was up by a half a point,
right?
In terms of the Real Clear Politics average, and Hillary's up
more than seven points.
What would you recommend? What's your advice to Donald Trump to get back into this thing? To be down 7 points, it's historic, obviously, to be this down this deep into the election. But what can he do to turn the tide?
Well, I think he should select two issues maximum, and that's all he should talk about. And he's really got to put a pebble in his shoe to remind him not to take any bait. I don't think this is necessarily achievable, given his personality, as we've seen it revealed over the past 16 months, much toward shock, dismay, and horror. But, you know, the guy has got to try not to talk about former beauty pageant people who gained weight or, you know, Mexican-American judges or, you know,
right,
Muslim
or
families whose sons died defending all of us in combat. You know, he's got to shut up about that stuff and focus on taxes and Obamacare and just take everything right back to Hillary that way.
Let's keep
or evaluating Hillary Clinton's rear end.
Yeah, that was low. I mean, it keeps getting low. That's pretty low to actually say I wasn't impressed.
Yeah.
She walked in front of me. I wasn't impressed. You're like, it just because, I mean, everyone in the room just rolls eyes. Okay,
yes.
So let's ask the question. This is the one that I think you guys can be a nice little debate point here for a couple minutes. Is about this idea that Trump is floating, that this election is rigged. Really what he's talking about is voter fraud. We've seen it. It's been a Republican talking point for not just this election, past elections. We saw it in 2008 as well with Barack Obama. Rudy Giuliani yesterday citing Chicago. Is Chicago ever going to get rid of this bad rap that this 1960 holdover about the vote early, vote often, you know, dead people showing up in the polls?
Well, think about it this way. Al Capone has been dead for, I don't know, 90 years. And yet, until Michael Jordan, Chicago is known for Al Capone around the world, 70 years after the guy was gone, or 50 years after the guy was gone. So I think that the voter fraud concept is going to stick with us. Look, I've worked polling places all over the city and the suburbs. I see things I don't necessarily like, but is it wholesale fraud? I mean, the worst wholesale fraud in this country is absentee ballot fraud. Where you have a conspiracy to collect a whole bunch of absentee ballots. This has happened. Republicans do it. Democrats do it. It's not okay. It should never happen. You should figure out ways to stop it. But does it fundamentally alter an election? Usually it doesn't, because most elections aren't, you know, within 20 votes.
Chris, is Donald Trump hitting a chord here? I mean, are people, I mean, is there reason to be concerned about voter fraud?
I believe that his statement about this is rigged is about more than just voter fraud. And I think voter fraud is a category of criminal behavior, and it's never going to go away. There will always be some. And frankly, this year, Chicago's a bad example, because this is going to be a Hillary state, and nobody is going to go out on a limb to steal votes for Hillary, because she's going to win anyway here. So you got to look at to the states that are close, theoretically, Ohio, North Carolina, the long list of close states. And that's where you would. But that's, he's saying something more significant.
What's he saying? Yeah.
What he's saying is that the media is in her pocket, that the culture, that is to say the late night comedians and, you know, Comedy Central or Bill Maher or whatever, that they're all in her pocket, that there isn't a real way in the mainstream channels to get his message out. So he says, I'm not necessarily, I think he's right about the media. I think he's right about the culture. I think he has gotten a lot of his message out. And unfortunately, for the last however many weeks, it's been the wrong messages.
Well, I would also push back on his thought, because he said himself that the way he's going to go about this campaign is not flood the market with advertising and other things. He's going to count on the fact that the media covers him.
I'm referring to the fact that the WikiLeaks coverage, for instance, over the last 5 days, let's just say, amounts to 25 minutes of network news time, and the Donald Trump women coming out with unprovable assertions accounts for... No, I mean, many of them, David, really, let's not get into that. They're not, they're unsupported assertions. Many
not true.
No, many of them are.
Yes, and many of them are supported assertions.
You say, that's what you say, but they're never going to be adjudicated between now and the election.
No, but the journalism professor of the People magazine writers, her journalism professor came out. Yeah. He lives in England, and he said, when this happened, she called me in tears because she couldn't believe Donald Trump did this to her.
Okay, and you're an attorney, and you know that doesn't
most
prove
of these stories are contemporaneous.
I understand.
Please hold on to that. But the point being
that those are more salacious,
right? WikiLeaks is revealing a lot about the Hillary operation that none of us ever knew before, and it's being ignored by the mainstream media because they're spending all of their time on the salacious assertions on the other side.
Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, let's take a break, and we can go back so we have enough time.
Look,
you guys can touche off air.
Point, Lundy. There's just no way. Actually, there's no way in God's green acre that you can contest what I've just asserted.
And I believe I will do so right after this break.
Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling here on Touche. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
Touche! Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy in studio every Monday. We will be back next Tuesday and the Tuesday after, because Mondays will be Hawks and Halloween as we wrap up Touche before the election, 2016 election. Let's get back to the issue at hand, which is the mainstream media being unfair to Donald Trump? Is there more coverage of Donald Trump's foibles than, say, the WikiLeaks story with Hillary Clinton? Dave Lundy.
So this is real simple. The media has had a love affair with Donald Trump. They got him elected. They got him nominated with $2 billion of free coverage of his speeches, which the head of CNN even said the other day, yeah, maybe it was a mistake for us to cover all of his speeches live. They didn't cover Jeb Bush. They didn't cover Marco Rubio. They didn't cover any of those. They covered Donald Trump. So guess what? You live by the media, you die by the media. And the person who is most responsible for what the media covers on any given day is the candidate. And if the candidate is disciplined, you control the message. In the case of Donald Trump, he's talking about Hillary Clinton's rear end instead of talking about the economy or Iraq or all the things that Chris would love him to talk about. And he has screwed this up every which way from Sunday. But so the person responsible for covering the women instead of the WikiLeaks is Donald Trump who keeps going back to it and calls them liars.
Okay, well, I'm interested to see how this plays out on Wednesday. Does he correct himself in the last debate where he just does issues and he stays away? Does he have enough discipline as he sort of does a last debate here and pulls it together?
You just can never tell, and that's part of the issue of Donald Trump. You've got James O'Keefe coming out today with the first installment of a new set of videos, undercover videos, and it has a big Chicago connection because the star of this video is Bob Cramer, who is a friend, I think, of all three of ours. We all know him. And I just had a speaking engagement with Bob, and we've been speaking together at various things for 25 years. And Bob's in the middle of this thing, and I know that Joan McCarthy Lassonde, who's running against Jan, is going to take this up tomorrow morning, and she is going to have a press conference.
So essentially, this is about the idea of inciting violence at Trump rallies.
David was for months saying that this was all Trump's fault, that he went to the UIC pavilion, right, and that the whole thing blew up. But now we see all of the people who were part of that organized effort to disrupt Trump's event at UIC are now owning up to it on the video. So I don't know how David's going to get himself out of that one.
David? Well, I haven't seen the video. But no, look, usually James O'Keefe's videos are wildly edited. So, you know, I'll believe it when I see it.
The only defense they can come up with, because you cannot believe your lying eyes when you
watch
the Planned Parenthood people, you watch the Acorn people. Acorn shut down because
of
this.
Hold on.
Please.
Can I ask just a question? And this is something I've noticed with this campaign, is that you'll see a lot of the Hillary Clinton scandals that want to bubble up are usually undercover videos or WikiLeaks or leaked emails of an operative, of John Podesta, of other people who are not Hillary Clinton. On the Trump side, it's Donald Trump himself saying the things. It's Donald Trump responding. It's Donald Trump snubbing the family. This is why it does not stick.
Hillary's own issue positions should be the only thing Trump talks about. And he's got to say one thing. I'll make you proud as president because I'm not going to continue Obama and Clinton.
You want to put any money on that happening, Chris?
No. I said 4 minutes ago, you can never predict what the guy's going
to
do.
All right, so let's take that. Let's say that the trends continue. We get to November, and it is, as Dave had predicted, a 12-point win for Hillary Clinton. Oh. You're seeing a lot of Donald Trump himself at rallies in Florida this weekend talking about that, you know what, we shouldn't stand for this. This is rigged. You're seeing John McCain today say we're going to stand in the way of any Clinton possible Supreme Court judge nominee. I mean, you're starting to see this sort of you talk to Hillary or to Trump supporters and they feel like the word revolution comes up. Were you feeling like this strange bubbling up that this election will not stand? Is that accurate or is that just media hype?
No, I have great fears about this. You know, recall that on Inauguration Day 2009, a large group of Republicans got together at a Mexican restaurant and decided they weren't going to let Barack Obama be successful in any way, shape, or form. That was unprecedented. You hadn't seen that in American history, Harry.
It happened Mitch under McConnell. George Mitchell, and that's why George Bush was a one-term president.
No.
Good morning.
No.
Good morning. George
Bush, I'm sorry. Ancient history, George H.W. Bush was a one-term president because he went to a grocery store and said, oh, what's the supermarket scanner?
That is not what he said.
And because he looked at his watch in the middle of the second debate.
That's not what he said.
And because
I say Saturday Night Live, but go ahead.
But yes, so realistically, what concerns me is that we cannot afford 4 more years of complete obstructionism. There has to be some meeting in the middle. When Hillary Clinton becomes president, I promise you, she will do something that is going to blow Chris's mind because she did it in the Senate. She will reach out to her. She will do everything that Obama didn't do. I love Barack Obama, but Hillary's going to be much better.
Barack is an infantile actor.
But I would also say that the left is not looking forward to that when you think of the Barack Sanders supporters. That's why they didn't go for Hillary Clinton. They don't want this compromise in the middle with
On my Facebook page, I've got an amazing video from some lefties who are so upset with Hillary, and they go into that, and you know, it's a 16-minute video. It's fascinating. But I think David is right, and I think that this is one of the good things to say about Hillary Clinton here. You know, she does have a record of working with Republicans, and there were a lot of, upstate New York Republican mayors of, you know, I don't know, Schenectady or Utica or someplace. And they had wonderful things to say about how concerned she was with their issues, et cetera, et cetera. So that would be a very welcome change after 8 years of what I consider to be Obama obstructionism.
Well, obstructionism was the name of the game. And you see this, and I wonder how much of the spillover, the people who are supporting Donald Trump, actually are upset with the obstructionist way that our government has worked in the last 8 years, where no, everyone is stopping each other and no one is getting anything done. Do you think that that was at all the reason why an outsider like Donald Trump was able to rise the ranks? And are we just fanning the flames for
it? Not in the slightest. No, because the first of all, a lot of the Trump people, they want obstructionism. A lot of the Trump people are angriest at people like Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell for having worked with Democrats. So I don't think that gave, I mean, it gave rise to Trump, but for the opposite reason.
Folks are very upset. They interpret things in the spur of the moment. I think that talk radio has a lot to do with how they interpret things, right? Mm-hmm. And conservative talk radio is not a friend of people getting along and putting points on the board. Now, that's not to say that I think you go get along, put points on the board for the sake of doing it. You got to get something out of the deal.
Right.
But it is a very polarized time in American political history. I want to point out, if Hillary's winning by 12, and it kills me to say this, then you've got to countenance or at least embrace the possibility that the Republicans will lose the Senate.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We should talk about that as well on debate night, which is Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Dave and Chris will be back here for pre and post. We'll talk with
I will be here after.
Yeah. Well, I used colorful words there. Just
he's being ambiguous.
I'm being ambiguous.
I'll be here.
Dave will be here in the
and I will be playing the role of Chris.
I will be seeking some of your listeners. I'm hoping they're turning into Channel 9.
I'm going to try to impersonate Chris Roebling, and I'm going to use really big words.
Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, back here on Wednesday for debate, and then of course Touche before the election.
Joan Lassonde, watch for that press conference tomorrow, 10 a.m.